In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear listeners of this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this episode under the title of The Status of Music in Islam. Yes, we're going to speak about music. Today, Sunday, is the 6th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. Today, let's listen to verse 6 of chapter Luqman.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa minan nasi man yashtari lahwal hadithi liyudilla an sabilillahi bighayri ilmin wa yattakhidhaha huzwa. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ
And of the people is he who buys the amusement of speech to mislead others from the way of Allah without knowledge and who takes it in ridicule. Those will have a humiliating punishment.
لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Some commentators have said that these verses of the Quran have been sent down about a man who had brought a maidservant who could sing songs. All days and nights, she sang for him and caused him to neglect the remembrance of Allah. The late Tabarsi says, The tradition which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet in this regard confirms the above occasion of revelation because he said, teaching music to maidservant singers is unlawful and bargaining them as well as profit gained from it is unlawful too. Our topic for this episode of today's special is music in Islam. Music has been an intrinsic part of human civilizations for centuries. Emperors have had musicians play in their courts, accompanied by dancers. Artists and record labels have made billions by promoting music and making it a lucrative business with multiple avenues of marketing avenues. The digital age of the smartphone and the internet has only made music that much more accessible and workable with the streaming platforms and YouTube. This has made music a near constant source of entertainment. Music has engulfed and surrounded us to the point where it is more of an afterthought, where we do not even ponder over what or how we're consuming it. Other question, is that how Allah wants a Muslim to be interact with music? Think about it. Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastay. In this episode, we are going to talk about music in Islam. Please pay careful attention that, for example, a very beautiful Quran recitals as performed by very well-known and famous, particularly Egyptian Quran reciters. I mean, in the recitals, we find that music is applied, and we find that when we listen to that kind of Quran recital and that kind of, Quranic music, we find that that kind of music is not only not forbidden, but also highly recommended, because it's the voice of the Holy Quran, and it's one of the best kind of musics, At the same time, we find that music spoils the intellect and spoils our faculty of reasoning, that kind of music is really forbidden, because the value of human beings rests on the power of moderation, the power of thinking, and the power and the status of being quite dignified. If a kind of music invites people to being away from these qualities, if a kind of music leads people to selflessness, in the negative way, to go into the extreme, other kinds of unallowable states of mind, certainly that kind of music isn't recommended, highly strictly forbidden.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
A short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
As previous episode of today's special, we get familiar with an effect of music. Of course, the negative effect. Music makes us forget to perform worship. Let's look at it. One effect of listening music is we forget to perform worship. And even so, forget on remembering Allah. Melodious music can sedate someone and make them neglect worship. The purpose of mankind created by Allah, the Almighty, is to worship Him. And if we neglect on worshiping Allah, then we deny our Creator. The punishment of neglecting worship to Allah is severe, and the hell will await us in the day of resurrection.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب شكرا يا رب.
This is the continuation of today's special, and now the harmful effects of music on body and mind. The harmful effects of music on body and mind are due to various factors. The most important of these is the kind or quality of the music, but there are others of a secondary character which can be influential and at times even decisive. These are the amount of the music, the combination and succession of different kinds of music, the psychophysiological constitution of each listener, the particular emotional state in which he or she is at the time. Thus, a piece that is disturbing and upsetting to one person may have no or little injurious effect on another. For instance, a listener who is sensitive to music or and whose passions are strong and not under control will be influenced in a very different way from a listener of the intellectual type who is emotionally cold and unresponsive. If a person is in love, he will be much more disturbed and excited by music than when his passion is dormant or when it has burnt itself out, leaving only the cold ashes of disappointment.
Before anything, let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say about music. Is music addressed in the Quran? Yes, it is. Explicitly, not explicitly, but various verses have addressed Quran, and with the help of the explanation of the Ahlul Bayt, this is very important. Some people, they come to me and they say, here, Sayyid, this is the Quran. Tell me, where does it say that music is haram? Where does it say? I say, we have the Quran, and at the same time, we need the help of whom? The Ahlul Bayt, to come and tell us this verse means so and so. Yes, we have several verses. One verse is the one that I just recited in Surah Luqman, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. And another verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And then it gets to this verse, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Believers are those that avoid laghu. What does laghu mean? Laghu means also vain talk. Vain talk. Have you seen some parents when they tell their children, latilghi, don't say stupid things, don't say vain talk, useless words, meaningless words? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرُضُونَ. According to Ahlul Bayt, they say that al-laghu here means singing and music. And another verse, فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرَّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Allah commands us to avoid false words. وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. قَوْلَ الزُّورِ is false words. According to hadith, that false words here means singing and music. Yes, indeed, singing and music is false words. What do they have to sing about?
Thank you very much. Our time is over. We leave you all in Allah's protection. Till another meeting, another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. God bless all of you.
Food for thought.
Sa
Shalom, dear listeners, and let us start the day with a thought-provoking statement from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, on the threshold of the anniversary of the criminal desecration of the sacred Jannatul Baqi cemetery of Medina by the Wahhabi heretics. Preserve the graves, the rights of whose people are obligatory upon you, and visit them and seek earnings there, because the dead will be delighted if you visit them. You should ask your needs near the graves of your parents after supplicating to God for them.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding the friends of Allah, the characteristics of the friends of God. The friends of God are the awliya Allah. This is one of those Islamic terms. It's been mentioned in the Holy Quran and in the Hadith in a lot of places, right? This is a very special group of people, right? And, you know, they've been praised in the Holy Quran and Hadith. But who are they? What are their characteristics? How do we know if we're one of them? Could be that we are one of them. How do we know this for sure? Here in this hadith, Imam Ali mentions some of their characteristics. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "The friends of Allah are those who look at the inward aspect of the world, while the other people look at its outer aspect." This is one of the characteristics of the friends of God. They look at the world from the inside. They don't simply look at the apparent nature of the world, what's going on. They pierce into its inner core, and they distinguish what it really is. The second characteristic that the Imam mentions is this: they busy themselves with its remoter benefits, while the other people busy themselves in its immediate benefits. This probably refers to the fact that they benefit from its more hidden aspect than the immediate benefits that the people take from this world. I mean, for example, it could be simply a reference to the fact that these people use this world for the benefits that they will take from it in the hereafter. They use it as a bridge to the hereafter, those benefits will come later on. Whereas people normally take the immediate benefits of the world. They seek benefits that they can take from it immediately, not in the benefits, that the spiritual benefits that they will have in the hereafter. They kill those things which they fear would have killed them, and they abandon here in this world what they believe would abandon them. For example, if they think that there's something in this world that would be of no use to them, will be beneficial for them temporarily, but in the end will harm them, so they leave that thing. They take the amassing of wealth by others as a small matter. If they see a person who's really rich, has a lot of money, he's a billionaire, he's made the Forbes list for the richest people of the world, they don't take it as to be very important. In fact, they regard it, the Imam says, as a loss. They say, what a great loss this person has. They are enemies of those things which others love, while they love things which others hate. Meaning they are enemies of those things which others love. People love wealth, people love to be popular, people love these kind of things, but these people don't like them. The friends of God don't like these things. Through them, the Quran has been learned. They learned the Quran, they memorized the Quran, they learned the Quran, they learn its teachings and they practice it, and they have been given knowledge through the Quran. The knowledge that they have is from the Quran. They might not have any degree from any university, they might not have a PhD, they might not have a master's or anything, but they have knowledge of the Quran, and this is very valuable for them. With them, the Quran is staying while they stand by the Quran. Meaning, the Quran remains in this world by means of them. They practice the Quran, they teach the Quran, and they stand by the teachings of the Quran. They do not see any object of hope above what they hope in, and no object of fear above what they fear. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the characteristics of the friends of God in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And also with
students.
Yeah, in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. And with Minhal Hussein Nasir,
Sayyid
Mahdi Al Husseinan, Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari, and Sayyid Muhammad Hadi Nabawi. So thank you so much for joining us. Inshallah, before we go to our new session, we got our review, the last session, whatever we studied there. I will ask the students, then inshallah, we will continue. So, Muhammad Yahya Jafari, can you tell us what we studied in our previous session, in our last session?
Salam. Yeah, we studied the silent letters.
Yeah, the silent letters. Like you, there are some letters, yes, that they are written, but they are not pronounced. Yes? Like what?
Yeah, wow, alif, la.
Ya, wow, alif,
wali.
Wali letters.
Wali.
Okay, wali. So, they are sometimes written, and I mean written, but not pronounced, yes?
Yes. Yeah.
And we studied the certain cases that these letters are skipped, right? Do you remember some of them or no?
When
Muhammad
the,
Mahdi?
Okay, that's not my name.
Mahdi, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
What we studied?
Yes.
We studied Surah Al-Rahman.
We practiced Surah Al-Rahman, yes, and applied
also,
these rules.
And also we practiced the silent letters. And how we know what a silent letter is, it's when it can be alif, lam, waw, or ya.
Can be alif,
it can
lam,
be
and?
Wali. And sometimes in like different Qur'ans, like it's written in gray.
Yeah, it's very clear. In some Qur'an, okay?
It's
very clear, so you can understand whether you skip this letter or no.
Like
if that's written in gray, you gotta skip it, right?
So yeah, it's sometimes written
blue.
Like yes, the silent letters are sometimes written in different colors, so people know if it's silent or not.
Oh, that's great. So one of the examples was, for example, when the waw and ya becomes the base for
hamza.
Yes, or also alif becomes the base for hamza. So in this case, you do not recite it as alif, waw, ya. You gotta recite it the way you pronounce hamza, right?
Yes.
Not alif, ah, not yi, not waw, okay? Or woo. So, inshallah, in this session, we are going to continue learning the same cases, but with another topic. So, the subject or the topic is the letters which are not written, but you must pronounce them.
How? That's
it's just
possible.
The opposite. Yeah.
How
it's
is
just
that
the opposite.
Possible?
So in the previous sessions, we talked about the letters which are written, but you do not have to read them.
Yeah, you should make that.
Yeah, you gotta skip them.
And then see it.
They're written in gray. So this time, we will, inshallah, study today the letters which are
not written, but
you gotta pronounce them.
Yeah.
How is it
possible?
It's not written. If it's written, I can read it. Yes?
Yeah.
But if it's not written, how can I do it?
How can I read it? I don't know.
So in alhamdulillah, nowadays, in Usman Taha version of the Quran and some other versions, okay? Now we have, there are, for example, if waw must be pronounced there, it's not written. Waw is not written there, okay? So one waw is, for example, omitted. It's deleted, okay? From the word.
Why?
So I will tell you the reason. Then, instead of that waw, which is skipped, which is not written, there is a small, tiny, or baby waw. So it makes it easy for you to understand.
Yeah, what's up?
So Yahya, did you get the answer? You said, how is it possible it's not written? How can I understand it? So it's very easy for you, okay? Because a small, tiny, or baby waw is written there instead of that big one, okay? The real waw.
Oh,
and also sometimes instead of that ya, a small ya like a fish.
Like
a fish. Yeah, like a fish.
Yeah.
It's written, okay,
like
there.
لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ
There is a ye, yes?
Yeah.
Yes, it's small.
Ya is not written.
Yes.
Ya is not written, okay?
Yes.
I mean, bihi after ha, there is no ya, the complete ya. Yes?
It's like same with English. Like there's some English words where there's like, let's say,
the silent letters that you gotta skip them. I mean, the letters which are written and like you have to skip them.
I know
we have
there's
them in
like, I know there's English words that like.
So inshallah, for the next session, you gotta tell
like
us.
Like there's
okay?
letters that are supposed to be there, but they're not.
For example.
For example, I really don't know.
So maybe yeah, there are. So it can have it can be in any language. So let's get back to our topic. So now you alhamdulillah understood what the topic means. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the letters which are not written, but you have to pronounce them. Instead of those deleted or omitted letters,
they
are written.
Uh-huh.
There are one of the reasons, okay?
Does it look good?
No. One of the reasons is this. Look, any letter cannot be deleted. So what we talk about is the letter waw and the letter ya. And sometimes the letter alif. Okay?
Yes.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض
حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So these three letters, mostly waw and ya, they are deleted. Okay, they are not pronounced. Kind of going to answer. The answer is this, one of the answers, that these waw and ya, so because they are repeated, okay, maybe there are two waw, maybe there are three waw, or, for example, two ya or three ya. So in this case, they use one of the ya and they delete or omit the other ones.
Why?
Because it's a kind of repetition.
It's really good.
No, it's repetition.
Really good.
Wow. You don't need because you can pronounce it. So during the history, I mean, so like in the past, Arab writers, okay, when for example in a word they were going to write the word and there were like two waw or two ya, okay, they would skip one of them and they would not write one of them. Instead, they would pronounce it like two waw. Like two ya. So that is one of the reasons. So, okay. Other reason, it is a style of writing. So you got to do it, okay? You got to follow it.
Yeah, we write a word with tip. Ya's one.
So,
yes,
so in Osman Taha, Quran, you have a small or baby waw, okay, at the end of the words. When you want to pronounce it like a waw, okay? It's not written like a complete waw, but it's a small waw. And also like a dhamma. And also a small or tiny ya at the end of the words, which can make it easy for you. So, one more thing, Minhal Hussein, that sometimes this deleted letter can be a part of that word. It is a part of that word, okay? Sometimes it's not a part of that word, okay? We will inshallah talk about the examples. Sometimes, look, for example, I have books. B-O-O-K-S, books. Okay?
Yeah.
For example, the letter O, double O we have. So all, both O are like part of the word, yes? But so you delete or omit one of the O.
Box.
But you pronounce it. For example, you pronounce it, for example. You delete one of the O's, okay? And you pronounce it still. So
yes,
so books with double O, books with one O. For example.
They just become box.
Yeah, it becomes box. But for example, I'm saying.
They do different meanings.
Yeah. But sometimes you do not omit the letter which is a part of the word. You delete the letter which is not a part of the word. It's just an extra letter, okay, to the word. So we have two cases. The first case, Hadi, it's part of the letter, part of the word, the letter that you delete. The waw or ya.
Yes.
And the next case, it is not part of the word. Okay,
yes.
Mahdi? So, that's great. Let's go, inshallah, talk about the examples.
But sir, we have in Surah Mursalat, we have very much. Wow.
Yeah.
Body.
So, but remember that there is one condition for this.
What?
So, one of the cases is with the pronoun ha that we have in Arabic. Okay? The pronoun ha. Like we have, for example, in English as well, we have. Like, I told him. I go with him. So, this, the letter ha, okay, which is a pronoun in Arabic. So, sometimes you gotta pronounce an extra waw or an extra ya with the word ha, okay? Like, for example, you do not say hu. You gotta stretch the sound, make it longer. Hu. For example, he. You do not say it just simply he. You gotta stretch the sound, okay, Muhammad? He. Understood? An extra ya, you gotta pronounce at the end of that. There is a condition, and the condition is that the previous letter, before the letter ha, that letter should not be silent. It should have a harakat. That should not be talking, okay? So, for example, if you say min ho. So, min ho, the noon before ha. Is it silent or no?
Yes.
Yeah, that's talking. So, you don't have to, for example, straight the sound of ha here. Min hu, don't say. Min ho, that's easy. But remember that the condition tells us that it has to be mutaharrik, or it should have harakat, either kasra or dhamma. If it is fatha, so the letter ha, I mean the word ha, okay, does not come with fatha. If it is with fatha, so I think we don't have it in Arabic, okay, with fatha. So either it is with kasra or with dhamma. It is either hu or he, not ha, okay? So, but the pronoun for the ladies or for the female, okay, that we have, like ha, ha and alif, that has what? An alif. So it comes with fatha. So the condition is this, that the previous letter must be mutaharrik, either it should have kasra or...
Mutaharrik?
Mutaharrik means having harakat. Okay, having harakat. I mean, it should have a movement. What movement? Either kasra or dhamma.
Yeah, walking, changing faces.
Yes. Or the next condition is this, that the ha itself should be mutaharrik. Itself should have harakat. Okay?
Okay.
So what does it mean? It means that, min halusain, if you stop at the word which has ha, so you don't need to stretch the sound because you stop there. So when you stop there, ha changes to sukun. The harakat of ha changes to sukun. So in this case, you do not stretch the sound. Like you say, for example, قُلْتُ لَهْ لَهْ. If you say لَهْ, you do not say لَهُ because you stop there. So when you make pause, we studied that dhamma and kasra will be changed to when you stop at the word.
It will change to sukun.
Will be changed to sukun? That's easy. Okay? So remember that when you stop, you do not have to stretch the sound. But when you continue reciting, when you continue reading, you gotta stretch the sound. Either with kasra, e, or with dhamma. Ooh. Alright?
Yes.
So this is called in Arabic ishba'. Let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Inshallah, we'll be back. Stay with us. Let's recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
the ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Wa la tafdahni bi khafi ma tala'at alayhi min sirri. ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي
Dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing the part of the Kumail supplication in which Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَلَا تُعَاجِلْنِي بِالْعُقُوبَةِ عَلَى مَا عَمِلْتُهُ فِي خَلَوَاتِ And Allah, I ask you not to hasten me to punishment for what I have done in my private. مِنْ سُوءِ فِعْلِي وَإِسَاءَتِ My evil acts in secrecy and my misdeeds. وَدَبَامِ تَفْرِيطِي وَجَهَالَتِ My continuous negligence and my ignorance, وَكَثْرَةِ شَهَوَاتِي وَغَفْلَتِي, and my manifold passions and my forgetfulness. In the previous program, we said that if the Almighty hastened the people to punishment, there would not be a single being on the earth. And because of His mercy, He does not hurry in punishing the sinful servants. And Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to tell us in this part that although hastening the sinners to punishment due to their boldness exists in Almighty Allah's system and program in this world, but it can be removed by repentance, by reforming from the faults, and by supplicating and by beseeching to Him, as did the people of Prophet Yunus. But when Almighty Allah's punishment and chastisement arrives, no one has the power to escape it. The different punishments of the Almighty Allah in this world are seen as catastrophes such as famine and heavenly disasters, and sometimes they are seen as spiritual metamorphosis.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements. And my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
The sign of inner metamorphosis are mentioned in an important tradition of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, addressing to Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu is saying, Ya Ali, O Ali, إِنَّ الْقَوْمَ سَيُفْتَنُونَ بَعْدِي بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ. This nation is examined by its properties after me. وَيَمُنُّونَ بِدِينِهِمْ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَتَمَنَّوْنَ رَحْمَتَهُ. They ask favor from their Allah for embracing the religion, and they hope for His mercy. وَيَأْمَنُونَ سَطُوَتَهُ. They consider themselves safe from His punishment. وَيَسْتَحِلُّونَ حَرَامَهُ بِالشُّبُهَاتِ الْكَاذِبَةِ وَالْأَهْوَاءِ السَّاهِيَةِ. They make his unlawful lawful with lying and passions. فَيَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْخَمْرَ بِالنَّبِيذِ. So they make the intoxicant drink a lawful drink. وَالسُّحْتَ بِالْهَدِيَّةِ. The unlawful wealth a lawful gift and granting. وَالرِّبَى بِالْبَيْعِ. And the usury a lawful business for themselves. This means that if the people want to do something, they will try to find different paths in reaching it. They will try to bring different excuses, as did the people of previous nations and the previous prophets, but they did not want to accept the religion their prophet had brought for them. They try to find different pretexts without logic. In this case,
our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the importance of goodness to the parents. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to the program A to Z from IRB English Radio. Today we will talk about the topic of the importance of goodness to the parents in the Islamic lifestyle. And when we look at the teachings of the Quran, it pays a lot of importance to the goodness and having a good relation with the parents and doing goodness to the parents, being a person who is obedient towards the parents. And this is what the Islamic teachings basically taught us, and it explains us. Therefore, when we look at the narrations by the Prophet or Aimah alayhi salatu wasalam, when we look at the verses of the Quran, it all talks about the goodness to the parents. And when you look at the verses especially, always you see where it is something about parents. It is from, like, Allah talks about Himself, worshipping Him. And right after that, He is saying, do good to your parents. Be good with your parents. And this tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the goodness of parents being to perform goodness towards parents or being good towards the parents next to his worship. So it is something which should be done right after worshiping. So if someone is worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore he must make sure that he is basically doing good to his parents. Because if someone is unable to do that, then obviously he is not performing the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the importance of the and the need of the goodness towards the parents. In the verses of the Quran in chapter Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Now here, the first word which is used in the Arabic language, obviously we look at the verses, and the first word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used is the word of qadha. And here Allah did not use the word command, or, you know, the word that we have generally, which we refer to be hukm, which is order. Amr is also order. But here it is qadha. Qadha is something which has been decreed. And qadha rabbuka means that and has decreed your Lord. So this is something that will definitely happen. And that must happen. There is no change in it. There is nothing like it is. It will be a kind of order. For example, you know, we have the order of praying 5-time prayers. But there is a condition. The condition is when we become baligh, then obviously we need to perform the prayers or fasting. Or when someone has the ability or financially and physically to go to Hajj, then he has to perform Hajj. Otherwise, there is no Hajj upon him. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word qadha. Qadha means that he has decreed upon you. It has been written on you. It's in your life. It is the part of your life. The way we breathe every day, the way we cannot live without water. Similarly, without respecting parent, without being good to parent, there is no life. So Allah says, قَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That Allah has made this decree upon you that you need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also be good to your parents, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first grade. My dad, who taught me the art of
listeners, especially.